Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. It's so nice to talk to all of you again. I've missed you. Welcome to Yes But Why, episode 318, my interview with Polish improviser Kasia Hmara. But first, have I mentioned that Yes But Why is sponsored by Audible? Well, let me tell you about it again. If you sign up for Audible today, you will get a free audiobook download, as well as access to hundreds of books and podcasts. And if you sign up for Audible using our link, we get a little something for sending you their way. So why not sign up today for your 30-day free trial using audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. I promise you'll use it. I know I have. All of my summer reading has been listened to on Audible. Much easier than bringing a book poolside, I'll tell you. I mean, I've already got my phone there, right? So just listen. So go ahead. Go now to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy to sign up and get your account today. I really appreciate it, and you will too. Okay, so this week's episode of Yes But Why is my discussion with Kasia Hmara, an actress, improviser, and teacher in Bydgoszcz, Poland. In our interview, Kasia tells me about her lifelong pursuit to be an actress. We talk of our mutual love for improv and how Kasia decided to start her own community called Improv Art Hmara, through which she now hosts theater and improvisation workshops in Bydgoszcz and beyond. I now present to you Yes But Why, episode 318, The Unstoppable Force of Kasia Hmara's Creativity. Enjoy. I'm Amy Jordan, and this is
Yes But Why.
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 This is the Yes But Why podcast.
When I was young, my mom's favorite color was red, and she decorated my room whole red. So I have a red carpet, red curtains, a red couch, everything looks just red. So you can imagine, how can I relax in my own room? No way. I was hyper. I have I also have dyslexia, dysorthography, and all this kind of dysfunction stuff. I'm very hyper. And just very late, because I was, I think, early 15, she finally let me paint my room for my favorite color, which is blue. So it was a huge amount of time. My room was whole red. So very crazy times.
Yeah. Clearly, she did not read the books on how colors affect people. Yeah,
it was 70s. So I was born in 1976. So it was ages ago. So we live in the deep communism country. So probably not much, options. Red,
sure.
Adopted, you know.
Yeah, there was like, the paint store was like, there's red and there's black. What would you like? She's like, yeah. I'll take red. It was the best option at the time.
True.
Oh, man.
But usual,
I
used to play by myself, sometimes with my neighbor. She was a year younger than me. And we play some play roles, you know, play games, like, you know, we became some shopping ladies, and we all this kind of crazy play role games, and very often we play outside with another children from our suburbs, from our area. I'm not sure if you have that, but we have this elastic that you can just jump to person. You just put elastic between you and you can just play tens, which is, I'm not sure if it's familiar in America.
I don't know. Is the elastic around both of you? Like,
yes.
So you're inside the circle?
Yes, and third person just jumping in a different kind of sequence of movements. It's like it's a little bit like skip rope, but yeah, it's just elastic, and you can just, you have to skip, and you start from your oh my gosh, how you call this in English? This part of your leg. This I have a yellow, so I don't know. This part of your leg.
Your ankle.
Oh, ankle. Peel, and you go parts by parts. The very tricky is your neck, because it's very skinny, so you have to just jump between this elastic, and then you have here this elastic, and then you have a half hands, full hands like that. So it's a very funny game. It's very if I can find some pictures, I can send you later on, so we can see
I feel like the games that they had for us when we were kids, because I was born in I was born in 78, so very similar time.
Yeah.
I feel like there were a lot of gymnastic things. Yes, like absolutely. They wanted us to jump and flip constantly as children. Mm. And don't get me wrong, because that's my childhood, I'm always trying to make my child jump and flip. Like, I'm like, why don't we use this jump rope? Why don't we, hey, I built a thing, you should jump over it. Like,
yeah, I also have a trampoline for my kids. So, yeah. Yeah.
It's ingrained in us. We're like, listen, absolutely, childhood exercise is just jumping and flipping. I love that, though. Like, that sounds super fun. I like that it's connected you, too. It's almost like a hula hoop that kind of lost its, it's just like elastic now. It's like, listen, I can't be a circle. But I love it. I love the jumping in the, I love that there's like moves for your ankle and your head. Yeah, oh, man, that's a wild one for sure. Good and athletic. Now I'm like, I need one of these. Can I get one? I'm fascinated, though. I'm still thinking about the color of your room. Has color been a big thing for you? Like, do you, in your current home, are all the walls white? Because you're like, listen, I can't even do it. Mm. Like, or when you finally got your own first place, did you paint the walls something specific because now you could?
I always loved blue. Since I remember, blue was my favorite color, and then black. But and always for me was issue. And I couldn't understand why my mom just decided, but that was her favorite color. So yes, every time when I just move out from my place, my house, I always have something blue and something less, eye-catchy than red color.
Yeah. So
for me, it was, it was a huge issue, but obviously, yeah, as an only child and live in a kind of very strict country at that time, with not much money because of the politics general stuff, probably we get what we get at that time.
Well, you know, I think everything feeds into itself, you know, like the outside was strict to her, so she was strict to you, and then even the color choices had this oppressive vibe because all she was feeling was oppression, and like, or maybe she was into it, and she was like, dude, red's the best, like, maybe that, because I like that it was her favorite color, like, so why not lean into it? Like, it's fascinating, especially now that I'm older and, you know, watching major cultural changes happen in my country, to have this moment of feeling older where I'm like, oh, they don't get it. And I'm like, oh. Because I don't think that, like my dominant brain is very like, you have to be open to all possibilities, the world's going to change, you have to adapt, and that's great, but that doesn't mean that in the back of my mind I'm not still like, oh well, we didn't do that, you know. And so I wonder, you know, like how it manifested for her. Like, was she like, if I paint her room red, she'll get into it like I'm into it? Or, You know, and it's also the other part, and it's interesting to know you have kids too, is the ideas that you put on your kids. You know, mine's only five, but I think mm-hmm. about, you know, every minute we're constantly like, oh, what he's doing right now is very me, or oh, he's very, it's very you. Like, mm-hmm. or we're trying to glean something about his future from whatever he's doing at 5 years old. And it's mm-hmm. like, let this person be a person, right? But I can't yeah. help it because we're just so involved in this thing. It's just like, and because you were an only child and I have an only child, now I'm like, what can I learn? How can I fix this? Mm. What can I do? I don't know. It's fascinating.
Mm. To be honest, I'm trying my best to don't make the same mistake as my mom. Obviously, that happens. That's happened.
Totally.
But again, I realized that my mom loved if I will be a doctor or a teacher. That was her dream job for me. But when I was 5 years old, I actually would like to sell ice cream because next to my house was a lady who made their own ice cream. And every Sunday I was, you know, walking with special jar that my parents give me. And she just put some ice cream balls and I give her money and I run to home and we have this ice cream for after Sunday lunch. So I was thinking, oh my God, I can be like this lady. I can make my own ice cream and I can sell. This is my dream job. But then half year later, next to, again, my house, they built a church. And I saw a nuns with this big, long dresses, black dresses. So I thought, and all the people from the building, because I used to live in the ninth floor, everybody was just looking how this church was built step by step. And this nuns walking, they was like you know, nearly kind of flying, be you know, on the path. And I was thinking, as a 5.5 year old child, wow, maybe I can become a nun because they so distinguish and they just really kind of nice with these black, you know, dresses. And then I became six and I realized these two jobs I can combine. I can be an actress. Why not? So as a 6 years old child, I told my parents, hey, I know what I want to do in my life. I want to be an actress. And they just look at me and said, what? I said, yes, I want to be an actress because I can be a sailor, ice cream sailor, and I can be a nun in the same time. So they thought I am really kind of going bananas, but they said, okay, Kasia, yes, all every girls would like to be an actress. But that was my dream since I was six. So I was focused on that. And I became professional actress because I passed my exams to the International School of Acting in Łódź. It's also international school because we have departments of directing, cinematography, animation, et cetera, et cetera. And this is an international crowd. I'm not sure if you, this school is very known, like Polański was finished this school. Some Zanussi, some Polish very famous directors. So that was my school and my dreams come true. And that was super fun that I can, you know, that was my dream since I was six. And I thought, wow, maybe this is this red color give me this kind of part of like, to be like a bull. And focus on this direction. I don't know, but
what a nice way to spin it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, might as well turn it into well, actually, it's a positive. Yeah, man.
But obviously, my mom dream for me was a teacher or doctor, but not for me. And I told her, look, I know you want me for me something different, but this is me. This is my life, mom. It was very hard for her in the beginning, but I can see now she's super supportive.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy.
Yeah. I think also potentially, you know, it's almost like what I was talking about with my own cultural issues. It's like I'm held back sometimes being like, what? They can't do that. I couldn't do that. But then you kind of are like, it's okay. New world, new space, new rules. What are the rules? Okay. It's fine. People like it. International acting school. That's top notch, right? That's not, you know, that's not for nobody's. That's for the solid, hardworking, moving your way up. I like the idea that there were multiple exams to get you there. Were you like, how do you even get to the door of that? You know, what's the path for you? Did you have to take other classes when you were younger to earn to get there? Or was it like you did auditions and they accepted you in? How did you get to this like major theatrical school?
For me, as I told you, that like from since when I was six, the theater film was very important, and I just start reading, start memorizing a lot of poems, and start going for some auditions, like local auditions for some poem competitions, etc., etc. And when I just get to the middle school, my teacher, Polish teacher, literature teacher, she was sending me to various competitions. And it was super funny because it was a four-year middle school, and each year I was coming with some prize, some first prize. So people in school, just they knew it that when Kasia go to the competition, she's gonna win, and it was like that. So for first time when I was trying to get to this acting school in Warsaw and in Krakow, because there are some three levels of exams. The usual 2 weeks, the 2 weeks exams, but the first level is around a week, then two more weeks is a third and second and third level. So I probably wasn't ready because I don't get in to the Krakow and to the Warsaw acting school. So I decided to wait 1 year, and I was working in the radio, local radio station, and I also decide to take some externity, I don't know if it's this word in English existing, some kind of, you know, night study in some cultural area, but it was so boring, or maybe I was so young to because I also realized that if you are older, the study is much more interesting. When you are 18, it's just boring and whatever. So I was 19, and I just, you know, I just get to this international film school, film and theater school in Łódź in Poland, and I was like, well, yeah, this is it, this is fantastic, finally. So yeah, I passed this three steps exams, which are super difficult because I need to prepare 10 pieces. So this is like poems, prose, like literature prose, and you have to also have some pieces like classic pieces. Like for English, probably will be a Shakespeare. For Polish, are kind of different names like Mickiewicz, Słowacki. This is kind of our big names in Polish literature. So you have to also show the techniques. You have to also prepare some songs. They also checking your acrobatic skills. Elastic helps a lot.
Very,
you know,
helpful. Yeah, they were prepping helpful. You your whole childhood.
Yes. And the worst part, it's they checking how it's your pronunciation. You know, all this if you don't have any problems with the clarity with your speech. They checking even your teeth. Or your this part, I don't know how you call this.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it either. The top, the roof of your mouth. That's wild.
Yeah.
Not even your throat. They check your throat.
Just to check. No, they check this part here up there because they just they just checking how you kind of this part body work, if we can work on some, if somebody had a problem with the pronunciation, etc., etc. Thank God I don't have any problem. Yeah. And yeah, and my journey started in 1996. So that was a very intensive study because I don't have actually a social life. We are like a, you know, we live like in a bubble, actually, because from Monday to Sunday, we spend the time. It's a little bit like a movie, a Fame.
Yeah.
Artistic people are close in this kind of box. Real. And they just, you know, it's and yeah. It's 24/7, only art. And you have acting department, you have cinematographers, you have directors, you have animations, you have voiceover, and you're just working together with the project and stuff and blah, blah. And it's beautiful, but you know, when this beautiful bubble just open after this years, and you just have your master of art, and you think, wow, now world's just waiting for you, and yeah, come on, Kasia, you can work. No way. It's just
yep.
It's just sweet fuck all, and yep. All these connections. The part that you are a woman is also quite difficult, especially in my country at that time when I was finished in 2001. So it was quite tricky. And again, every year, most around, we have a four national acting school in Poland. It's quite a big country. And every year we have masters of art, and every year we have like 150 masters of art. And then, you know, there are some private acting school as well. So probably this number is kind of raising up. So, and to be honest, theater, not common kind of give you a job, like a permanent job. So it's very hard to find anything. And it, maybe some TV series, but it's also super difficult to just, you know, get the audition, get this your private agency. Or yeah. if you have agency, it's like it's a huge one that, you know, you are one of the million faces. So again, it's another luck.
Yeah,
it's a huge luck. Like the first luck was that I, you know, get the place in the school, but another luck is to find a job and just really live with this profession and get money.
When you were in school, did they prepare you at all for the business part? Like
not at all. Now at that time they started doing that because of the you know, COVID and the situation. Just kind of they learned that they need to do something because the children or the students are not ready at all. It's like a fame, you know, movie again. This is like the, you know, the bubble. And this bubble just burst, and you have sweet nothing. So I think now slowly they realize that they need to have this kind of subject, like even selling skills for yourself, how to sell yourself, you know, how to not only, oh yes, I'm an artist and just give me a job. No, it's not anymore like that. So it's, you need to have this selling skills as well, you know, how to sell this ice cream but it's difficult because when I was in school, we have this old school and the school became, The teachers was kind of, you know, from Russian school, like, you know, Stanislavski, et cetera, Chekhov. So that was a kind of school that think that the art or actor, it's a kind of, it's a profession, but also it's like more, you're like a priest.
Yeah.
You just give yourself to the art, you know.
Yeah.
And no matter if you're starving or not, but this is something that you want to give to the people because people wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of my education had that vibe, like you are a essential. And don't get me wrong, I'll take it. I like feeling like I'm an important part of culture.
Absolutely.
But
me too.
At the same time, yeah, it's like, cool. I'm glad I'm important, but like, is there money involved? Like,
because the pot is empty. I don't have nothing to eat. Hello.
Yeah. I'm amazing. I get it. Thank you. But could I have dinner as well? Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe, or can you play that? But there's low budget. Actually, it's nothing. But you know, it's an art. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe when I was younger, I thought like that, but not anymore because, you know, hello, I have two children. I have to just live. I have to just survive. Hello. And this is my profession. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the business part of being a professional actor is like not taught anywhere. I mean, across the board, when I talk to people in everywhere in the world, they're having these artistic bubbles, like you said, where they're having like fun times and deep feelings, but then they come out and it's like, oh, by the way, in order to do this job, you need an agent and a manager and some headshots, and you need to always look nice. And these days, you also need a camera and a microphone and a room you can be in to film yourself doing stuff. You gotta be a filmmaker as well. Like, yeah, it's an insane amount of things that should be like, should be 101. Like, it should be the first class they teach you in school. They're gonna be like, absolutely, hey guys, I know we've all had fun being in plays. Oh, it's fun to pretend we're other people, right? We love it. Okay, today we're gonna talk business. That's what we have. Business classes up top. Number one, marketing. Who are you? What's your brand? Like, can I just tell you, I like just took a marketing workshop. Like, I'm in my 40s and I just took one, and for the first time ever understood how to do marketing. Like, I had been throwing stuff at the wall for years, just this will work, right? And then when I took the class and learned all the things, I was like, oh, I see what I was doing wrong. Okay. All right. Yeah. Like, but I just didn't, you know. This class popped up through another like sweet artistic friend who was like, hey, this is helpful. You should do this. And I said, oh, okay, great. I will. But I never would have, right? And it wasn't at my school. It wasn't like available. And they don't have like, you know, cool improv workshop next to the cool marketing workshop. Like, it's just different, you know, like, I don't know.
Absolutely. That's why also I think, you know, this study is for adults. Because when we're young, when we have, you know, when we are in our early 80s, 90s, we just going bananas. We want to party. We don't get kind of these puzzles because we kind of still think abstract. And, you know, I think after 20s, we slowly kind of realize what we want in our life, what we're looking for. That's why after actually my Master of Art, I start working in the theater, but also, I finish another three different degrees to try to figure out, also to have paper, to try to also realize that I probably not will be working all the time as an actress. I need to figure out what else I can do with my life, with my skills, to create something for me, because it will be not easy.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I'm a woman. I live in Poland. So what else I can do, because I can wait for ages for, you know, phone call from my agents who can give me a one day in a serial TV series, one day for, you know, it's a waste of time. You need to just also figure out what else you can do. It's pity, but this is the world, you know. It's only a few people who are in the top class, they have luck. They probably, everybody working hard, because, you know, I think each profession is worth it, and we can't be ashamed that we're working, you know, in any professions, because, you know, this is life. We need to survive. I also was working in a building site. I was a builder. I was working with the builders. And there was a very fun time in my life. But obviously I couldn't afford to live with acting. I was basking on the street as a clown, as a statue, on the streets during the weekends. That was the time when I used to live in Ireland, in Cork City. But during the week, I was working as a builder with men. That was a normal job in the building site, but because that was the money and I can survive.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is normal, I think. So I think we shouldn't be afraid of any job, but if we have a chance to work in our profession, it's the most beautiful and satisfactory feeling, and this is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy I finally work as a professional actress in the professional theater, and I still can do some improv, which is the most amazing as well.
So you have two kids, which means for a long time, you've been taking care of a lot of people, not just you. You took care of yourself for a while, and then you figured out how to make it work, and then life got more complicated, like it does. And how did you switch that up? What was the path that you took? I think I agree with you so deeply and wholeheartedly that, like, we have to do work that's potentially not theater like we want to do. Sure, I'd love to be a stage manager on Broadway, but that's not going to work out right now. That's okay. What can I do that's sort of adjacent, similar, kind of like that, but not quite, you know? So I try to find what skills from my theater life I'm using in my day job, because it helps me feel like I'm still exercising that part. But what work did you get into with your kids? Like, what you had to raise these kids, and, you know, as we discussed before, like, they take up so much time. Like, what did you do?
It was funny part, because I when I came to Ireland, I actually came there when I was single, and I was working on a movie. And I was waiting for money from that movie, but obviously the money came half year later. So during that time, I realized, hey, I need to do something. And I was so proud to ask my mom to give me to buy me a ticket to Poland. So I said, hey, I can figure out something in Ireland. So I was working as a clown, as a, you know, basking on the street. I was working as a waitress and in a building site. And then in the meantime, I met my now ex-husband, and yes, and I realized that the lovely person, obviously, because he's a father of my son, but obviously he didn't realize that I'm an actress. He thought, this is not a job. This is not a profession. This is fun. So, long story short, obviously, I became a single mom, and I realized I need to survive. In Ireland, it's a long story with the divorce, because you need to be 4 years in separation, and then you can start your legal divorce. So, it took me 8 years to divorce the father of my son. So during that time, I couldn't work as an actress in different country, even if I try very hard. I complete postgraduate study as in 5-level FITAC in childcare. I was working in creche, you can call this creche, yeah? You know creche? Sure. Kindergarten? Yeah. And the manager of this creche asked me to teach them English very fast. So I make them, yeah, teach them English very fast. They need to learn English very fast because they are small, and I have usually 1 week to teach them.
Oh my God.
But I manage, because I realize, hey, why, my acting skills are great, so why not to use it? So I try to do a puppet theater with them, with the small kids, and every day I just implement a different words with the puppets, with the storytelling, with some big games, lots of songs. And after 1 week, they can communicate. So I realized, wow, this is a hard job, but it's fun, lots of fun. And when I finally come back to Poland, I also saw for the first time in Ireland improv. And I thought that was a great group, also international group. They called Snatch Comedy. They still existing. There are some group of actors from around the Europe, or maybe even in the world. And they did some short games at that time. And I thought, wow, that's great idea for actors, special for your listening skills, because in schools, in acting school, they really rarely teach you how to listen to your partner. So maybe this is a great idea to implement that. So I thought, well, when I come back to Poland, I definitely start doing that. So I started doing some research, and at that time it was nothing in Poland. But at that time, when I come back to Poland, I was slowly starting some groups, some improv groups. So I make some contacts with my friends, and I start learning. I start to learning, and then my first international teacher, she came from Canada, actually. Caitlin Howden from Canada. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, that name. Yeah, and she came to Poland, and then I start kind of constantly study improv. I try my best to use every excuse to go for some workshops, etc. In the same time, I have another child with another man that I met in Ireland, but he also thought my profession is not that profession. I'm making fun, and this is only fun. So I became a single mom. And I thought, why not? I can manage. Thank God I have a mom with the beautiful red color in her mind, but still she's super helpful. And I finish my another two study in the same time. So I was working as an English teacher for, you know, kindergarten and preschool with my method, how to, you know, with the puppet singing, whatever, learn these children English. And in the meantime, I complete my pedagogical study, and then managing culture study. And then I was ready to open my own improv theater, because in my city, it's the eighth biggest city in Poland. We don't have an improv theater in my city. And I met my best friend. I met her 11 years ago. And I told her about improv. And she was like, what? What is it? And she started also kind of traveling with me. And we open our theater. We do an audition. And yeah, our theater is now 10 years old. And we was the first women improv group in my city. So I think that was a great opportunity for me. For the first time when I saw this improv group in Ireland, till I come back to Poland and I decide this is a group to. Because the improv give you this kind of, you know, movement, give you the open mind. And also that's why 4 years ago, I decided to do my PhD in acting combined with improv as well. So I'm waiting now for a date to become a doctor, actor. I was writing how to create script character through improv technique. So. Whoa. Yeah, so I'm so happy I can combine all of this. And that was my journey.
That's the idea that you started your own theater is so amazing, because it feels like you brought together the skills that you had been developing all along. Like that your connection to even the people who pushed back, like there's always pushback. But I love that it's an improv theater. And the reason being is that I enjoy, The through line of probably everyone I talk to on this podcast is improv, whether that's their main thing or not. But I feel like improv has, it's like the breath of life for art. It's like you can be and live an improviser lifestyle, whether you're on stage or not. You can be like the kid, like teaching the kids English with the puppet thing, like awesome. Like that's, that's an improv brain right there. Like that's because that, an improv brain isn't just, you know, people talk about, oh, an improv brain is in the moment and then they let it go. No, it's about seeing everything that's available.
And making connections.
Yes. Yeah. Making connections, bringing things together, being like, okay, I'm in a room with children. They want me to teach English. How do I get from here to there with all of the things that I have in this room? Like, that is a way that a brain works, that you have, that is your natural thing. So improv is just exactly the place for you. Like, and the fact that you were able to find it and then make it your own is like so empowering. Like, plenty of people along the way in all of our lives, but certainly in your story, as you're telling me, are trying to take something away from you, make you feel like the thing that is who you are is not good enough. And you're like, that's cool. You don't have a place for me. Well, I'm going to make a place.
Yeah.
Like, and that's so awesome. So many people in this world don't have the strength to create that, you know, to put, to say, if you're not going to make it for me, I'm going to make it for myself. And I think, I mean, that's the essence of being an artist, certainly in the deeply philosophical way that I was taught, where it's like, my heart is pure and I am an artist, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's funny. But yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, I was 35. I come back from Ireland and I have an audition in the professional theater, and I just hear from the director that I'm too old to be naked on stage and too young to be a granny on stage. What kind of, you know, sentence is that? It's insulting, it's bullying, it's crap. And for me, again, as a woman actress, they have very hard in this profession. I thought, what the heck, I can't accept that. If you don't want me, I can do on my own way. And yeah, 10 years we built this great community, improv community in our city, and you know, in Poland, it was growing as in improv field. So it's amazing. And we still be recognized. We are recognized around the Poland, around the country, which is awesome, because I also have several international projects. My best friend, she's an Orla McGovern from Ireland. We have a duo, Irish-Polish duo, that we also went for a few festivals around the Europe. It's awesome. I travel a lot. I teach also in different countries, which is fantastic for artists. It's the most beautiful way. And 2 years ago, a different theater in my city proposed me a job. I'm the oldest actress in this theater at the moment, but I'm grateful, because the director don't tell me I'm too old to be naked or whatever, too young to play a granny. I'm valid for them, and I'm working in the script theater, and it's super awesome and it's super fun. So I can combine this two piece of art, but it's still fantastic, because, you know, even I realize that improv skills are really necessary in script theater and in a professional theater. Absolutely. During my PhD study, I work with students that first year students, that they realize how they listening skills open suddenly after a few workshop with improv workshop. And even during the shows in my theater, when my friends kind of stuck with the sentences during the play, I always know how to, you know, help them or just talk. And they said after, wow, I was so stuck. I don't know what's happened, but you just clicked. Said, improv. This is helpful. And this is a listening skills. This is very important. Not like, okay, now I'm an artist, so I play, this is my part and I forgot about everything else. No, you have to be open. You have to listen. You have to be here and now. This is most important. So,
yeah. One of the most important things I find when I'm watching actors is them living in the moments that are not the words. You know, like you can tell when an actor really is living in the space, is in the world of the scene versus like waiting for their turn to speak or just thinking about their own character. You know, I've definitely worked with actors a lot for many, many, many years. And that evolution is palpable. Like you're mentioning with improvisers, you see them really be able to be in the space better than a person who's super worried about like, am I emoting correctly? Is my face look like what I want it to look like? It's like, if you feel it, your face will look like it. You know, try to feel it. Don't try to force it, you know?
And
there's so many schools of thought, but I am very into the improv school of thought like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really...
Emotions are very important, I think. Emotions tell you everything.
Yeah.
And you can lie. You just see your body also don't lie if you have... you know, emotionally right, or just, you know, kind of you can see how you connected with your body and, you know, with your body language, and if you really feel it. Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, you can actually, that particular detail is kind of like the sort of veil from a beginning improviser to an experienced improviser, because it's hard to feel it in your body. People spend so much of their lives pushing away their own regular emotions that they don't know what it is. I can't tell. I taught level one improv for many years. And the number one thing that people would say to me is, I don't know how to do emotions. And I'd be like, okay. Great. And I'd make them, I would do exercises that made them get into their own personal stories involving each emotion. And then we'd just talk about where in their body they felt it. And I was like, guys, there's not one way to be angry. There's not one way to be sad. There's not one way to be happy. You just need to figure out what your instrument does when it feels that way, right? So I did this exercise. I'd be like, we'd do like a talk about something made us angry. We'd get really pissed off about it. We'd be yelling. And then I'd go, okay, where in your body do you feel tension? And I'd be like, mine's right here. Mine's right here, right in my jaw. I hold it tight. I got that. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. What about you? And other people that have something different. Oh, I feel my shoulders. Ooh, they're so tight. Oh, my back. I can feel there's an ache in it. Good. That way, you then recognize your own body. And then when you're in the scene, it's not about forcing your body. You're not like, oh, let me clench my jaw. But maybe it is. Maybe one night, you know, you do plays. You do the same play over and over and over and over. How do you get to that emotional connection every night? You got little touch points like that. Like, oh, I'm about to be really angry, but I kind of don't feel that yet. How do I get there? I'm going to clench this jaw, and that's going to get me there. Because my body will recognize, oh, well, I'm feeling this jaw clench. Maybe that'll bring, and then it does, right? It's like recognizing how your instrument works and then actually playing it.
Absolutely.
And that's such an improv mm-hmm. thing. Like that's such, and we're talking about this because we've both clearly taken many, many, many classes in improv, right? But mm-hmm. like, that's like, you know, the first few weeks, you're essentially figuring out what you got. And then you're like, okay, level two, you can play it now. You know, like, and there's something that like in the acting schools, like we were talking about, you know, in the past, they don't give you that. They don't like think about how that's, I feel like that's probably going to change in the future, given that so many people are really bringing improv, like yourself and people like David Escobedo, who are bringing improv into the PhD year, into the academic world, because like the academic world has to accept it before and the university is going to be like, yeah, let's have an actual class. And like Juilliard or your amazing school are not going to put an improv class in until somebody very important says that thing is the thing you need to do, right?
Yeah, because like, it's super helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's like everything. You can be like, no, guys, this is super helpful. And they're like, whatever, I'm not going to do it. And you're like, it'll save your life. And they're like, no, I'm not interested. So, I mean, yeah. So it has to take very smart people like yourself to speak in their academic language and be like, this is why it is important to you. Mm-hmm. Can you read it in your language? And they're like, well, these words are very large. This must be true, you know, like, but the people who are deciding what gets taught have to be convinced somehow. The rest of us, we're convinced. Clearly. Yeah. Also, shout out to everyone who's listening, who's also convinced, you know, we're convinced, we love the improv, but like that's our journey. That's the thing that like can really help. It's very exciting to me to think about how improv came in to your story and how it's continuing to buoy you in your artistic world. I'm so happy for that. That's such a great thing. And I feel like it's almost like when you make the right move, everything kind of falls into place. So like you telling me that like shortly after you're running this successful theater, they're like inviting you to act in other things. It's like, yeah, man, because everything started to come together and it was like the right thing just for you. You got that thing because you're making the right choices for yourself, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man. So wild. I'm so impressed. Super great. Are there any projects you're working on right now that are like really just exciting you, whether they are on stage with your group or at home, you know, developing something? What's exciting you right now?
We nearly finished our year in the script theater, so we're gonna have a holidays, but in September we're starting a new show. Narnia, it's like the wardrobe, and you just come to
Narnia,
the different world.
Yeah.
Narnia, yes. So we're doing this show. It will be in September. But in the meantime, in the improv world, there is an international festival in Torun. Torun is next to my city, Bydgoszcz. And I'm performing there with seven women of different ages in English. We're going to have a guest in Ballori. She lives in Berlin, but she is from Tel Aviv. And also I'm taking classes with Sasha Hudemaker. He is from Amsterdam. He is a fantastic composer. And we're going to do some improv musicals. So I'm looking forward to do that. And also I have, I can wait because of the pandemic situation, we couldn't meet. But finally, after 2 years, we have our annual meeting with some group of improvisers from around the Europe. We call ourselves Ohana.
Yeah.
So I'm part of Ohana, a group. So the end of August, we're going to meet in Slovenia for a whole 1 week to work together, to just party, be together. And do some improv, obviously. So
Oh my goodness. How wonderful. After such a boon to the communities, like just the idea that you guys are going to meet and probably talk about people all over the world that you're suddenly friends with, that you're like, did you guys meet the kid in Tibet? Yes, I did. Oh my God. Like, or like, you know, like I was talking to my last guest who was on the show, we were joking. And I was like, Austin, people know about Austin as an improv town. I said, listen, they know about it in Oslo. And she was like, yeah, right. And then literally when I posted it, Ari from Oslo posts like, I do know about it. And I was like, you see?
Yes.
like the beauty is you're going to go meet and then the world's smaller. Like somehow, even though you guys haven't seen each other, you're going to connect and you're there with your good friends. And that's so great. But now the like tendrils of the community are so much, you know, nobody likes the pandemic, of course, but the connection of all of us online has been just so cool. Like, fact that, like, I asked you to be on the show, but I mean, I've definitely talked to you on the Facebook a bunch, right? Like, we've had comments and like little things where we've liked this and we've talked about this food or whatever, you know, that's it. But we've like how in the world did we connect? But we did because of this like wild through line of improv. And like, I'm very excited. I can't wait. When you finish, when you have that Ohana meeting, like I want to hear about it. I want like a little like, hey, this was so fun. We did this fun thing or whatever. Just because I bet it's going to be, especially because we haven't been able to see people in so long. Like just like hugging and being with your friends is like so rare these days. And so
absolutely.
What a good group too. It's like an awesome crowd. Yes. So cool. I'm so glad you guys have an upcoming meeting. I had seen that there was the group and then, you know, who knows when people can travel anymore. Yeah. So I was happy. I'm happy to know that you guys are going to reconnect. That's so cool. And that there's so much like stage plays happening for you. Like, I'm glad you're back up on stage. I feel like we're only just sort of getting to a little bit more on the actual stage here, but like, you know, we're getting there and it's nice to connect. You know, I just had my very first in-person writing workshop. I've been doing this like writer's thing on Zoom. We meet once a week, you know, but we're all in our own separate places and then we write and then we come back and we're like, we did it. We're great. But I met my writing teacher who I'd been working with for 2 years for the first time in person, like last week. And I was like, and we live in the same town. Like, she's not like from somewhere else. No. Like, I probably could have seen her, but the world was just, and she lives in she has a different circle. I didn't want to mess with that. You know, like, I was like, listen, I got a kid. He's all snotty. Don't worry about it. Like, it's wild. But yeah, it's so great to connect with people. And I'm like, so happy that you have that coming up. Like, it's really, and also it's been really great to connect with you and to like hear about your journey. It's such an amazing development of your own, you know, will to be what you wanted to be. You wanted to be an actress. You made it happen. No matter what stood in your way, you were like, yeah, that's cool. No, thanks. I'm not interested in your opinions about how my job's not the right job. I'm doing this, so I'm going to do it. And then you, like, make this space for other people who probably are also like you looking for a place to be and have a community. And then you did that for people. And that just like, it matters. It really does. It really does. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One last question and then I'll let you go for your day. What are you doing for yourself? Like, I know clearly you've got a lot of classes you're taking in improv musicals and stuff like that, but what do you do to kind of recharge? Do you read books? Do you work out? Do you walk your dogs? Like, what's the thing that makes you
obviously love reading books. I love music listen to music. But I also love cooking for people. I love have guests in my house and I love cook for them. Oh my God, this is my passion. I love feed people, you know, maybe because I'm a sibling and I love when my house is full of people that we can chat, drink wine, and I can serve them food. Oh my God, this is my passion. I my biggest dream ever that I will, when I will be rich, and I'm slowly getting there. But very tiny steps. My dream is to open a house, not in Poland, maybe in Greece, someplace where it's warm. Art house, when people can stay for longer or short term, with the open kitchen, with the stage that, and each year there'll be a small improv festival. And I can cook for people and they can come and just chat and be there, just be, and I will be just serving them food and we're gonna sit all day, all night and talk, perform and have fun. So this is my biggest dream ever.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. When you open it up, let me know.
You invited.
Thank you. I was like, as soon as this Greece art house, I am in. I love Greece. While Athens is, of course, the center of all of my culture, I still love the small towns too. So, you know, when you have your little house in the countryside by the water.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get a nice little space in Nafleon. It'll be good.
Yeah. And food, food. I can live for food. I can die. No, I can't die. I love to live, but I live for food. I love.
You can
cooking.
Live and die for food. Yeah, there's a lot of emotions.
But I love cooking for people. I love.
Yeah. Oh man, thank you so much for being on the podcast, for sharing your story with me, and your just sweetness and pleasantness. It's been just a delight to chat with you.
Likewise, Amy. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all of our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.